I'm going to start the class this morning with the Srimad Bhagavatam quiz. Two questions. One question. First question. Out of the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, one verse is called the Mahavakya, or the principal utterance, the one verse that governs all the other 17,999 verses. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam rests in this one verse. Can I see a show of hands of who knows what that verse is? Yeah, not say it. Let's show your hand. Who knows the verse? What's the first word? Just the first word. Param, something like that. Okay, let's try. Okay. Shankadari? So let's say the verse together. You all know the verse. Ete changsa kala pongsa krishnastu bhagavan sayam. It starts with the Indra, the enemies of Indra, killer, the destroyer of the enemies of Indra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This appears, it's in Canto 1, Chapter 3, comes in the list of forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. The question that comes from chapter 1 is, the sages want to hear from Sutta, please describe the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. So chapter 3 begins answering that question. It starts with the Purusha avatars, and then the Leela avatars, and a long list. Not an exhaustive list, because the forms of the Lord are unlimited. Like the number of waves in the ocean, who can count them? Similarly, the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world are so many. And this verse says, amongst them all is one of them that appears is the source of all of them. And that source of all of them is Krishna. So that's the verse, according to Jiva Goswami. The nature of a Mahavakya verse is, gives scriptural references to say, a series of seemingly unrelated events or facts are stated. Generally, the Mahavakya appears towards the beginning of a work, and many unrelated, seemingly having nothing to do with the flow of the message, they actually are embellishing, or they're governed by this one verse. And if there appears that there's some statement over here that is in conflict with the essence verse, then it has to be interpreted indirectly to be supportive of this verse or in harmony with this verse. It's the emperor that rules many kings. Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna is the source of everything. Same as what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the first of the Chatur Shloki verses. We could have that as another quiz question. You know it. What is it? Very good. You know the meaning? What's the meaning? Emanations, everything. Yeah. Thus knowing.
The wise perfectly know this. Engage my devotional service. And worship me with all their
Very good. Same message from Bhagavad Gita, same message from the Bhagavatam. No surprise. Krishna is the source of everything. Because Vedanta, the first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta is searching for that. What's that? That which is the source of everything. The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares, I am the source of everything. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta is declaring Krishna is the source of everything. Jiva Goswami, so next question. Jiva Goswami, in his Prameya section of Tattva Sandarbha, we, last Thanksgiving vacation, we discussed the Pramana section, the means of knowing anything, specifically the means of knowing transcendence and knowing Krishna. The best means is Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the essence of the message. So then the second, which is going to be discussed this coming Thanksgiving vacation or holiday, what is that truth which Srimad Bhagavatam reveals? How do we understand the essence of what the Pramana says? It says Prameya. What is it that the Bhagavatam says? So one of the three sections starts with, in this Prameya section, one of the second of the three sections begins with another verse, which is a principle, not the principle. We already said the principle verse, but there's another verse that, again, states the essence or prevails over that 17,998 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, stating the essence or an essence or the essence of the Bhagavatam's message. Anyone know that verse? The Absolute Truth is realized in different features. Vedanta tat, tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam, brahmeti, paramatmeti, bhagavaniti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists say that the Absolute Truth is of a non-dual nature, and it is realized in three different features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Anyone that has spoken, explained Krishna consciousness to others, will have encountered the question expressed in different ways: why are there so many different religions in this world? If there's one truth, why is there so many religions? And one answer is, there's modes of nature. Divisions of faith, section of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is that absolute truth, but supposing people don't have faith in Krishna, aren't there faith in different ways? Yes, there's faith according to the modes of nature, so, and Krishna is the source of that faith. It's of the soul, but faith in a, guided in a particular way according to the modes of nature. Krishna gives. He's situated in the heart and he gives. That's one way to describe why they're different faiths. The section that this morning's verse is from is looking at that question from through a different lens. And the lens is basically, Krishna, who is the source of everything, is the source of everything. And different persons, according to the means that they use to look at that source, will see differently. I'll read the purport, and we'll go a little bit to Vishwanath's commentary. There's examples. In the purport, Prabhupada gives the example of, you've heard these before. From a distance, you see on the horizon something that you're not sure whether it's a cloud or a mountain. Maybe some of you had that experience. And as you get a little bit closer, oh, it's a mountain. It's not just a cloud. Then as you get closer to the mountain, supposing you walk or move towards the mountain, and then you can see there's different types of trees from the different colors, and there's some shape to the mountain and some variegatedness. And then you climb the mountain and you see the animals and see the birds and the insects, and go inside a cabin. Somebody lives inside the cabin, and you go inside and meet them and find their dog Fido inside the house and what they're having for dinner. It becomes more on the personal side, although it's just different aspects or features of the mountain. So similarly, that comparison is given. The absolute truth can be perceived as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, personal feature. And the other features rest upon the personal feature. So Bhagavan is the ultimate conception of those three, but all three are in the non-dual region. So this section is similarly saying the absolute truth, we'll go back some verses, but the absolute truth is perceived by some this way, some by that, and some by that way. And they have faith in this, that, or the other. And they have their scriptural references to support this, that, or the other that nourishes their faith. Because there are different aspects of the source of everything. So it's not necessarily wrong, but one could say incomplete. And part of the thing that's wrong is one who says, this is it, and therefore it can't be that. That's wrong. There's an impersonal feature, a Brahman feature to the Supreme. It's true. But if that group says, well, there can't be form, that's wrong. So Vaishnavas, or those who are appreciating the personal feature of the Supreme, recognize Brahman and Paramatma are also features of the Absolute, and according to Krishna's words of Bhagavad Gita, he, the Bhagavan personality, is the pratishtha, or basis and support, of Brahman. So Brahman is real, Paramatma is real, and Bhagavan is real. And Bhagavan is the basis and support of the others. Paramatma is a portion of a plenary portion, interesting language, kala, expansion. Not the fullness, but an expansion, therefore in the same tattva, Vishnu tattva. And so forth, the living entities are tatasti, tatasta, shakti, or another expansion of Krishna's potency that can be analyzed by scripture. Conscious, eternal, sharing qualities like the Supreme. In fact, that verse that we just quoted, Vedanta tat tatvam vedas tatvam yat jnanam advayam, that jnanam advayam phrase is how Jiva Goswami builds the second evidence or disclosure of what the Bhagavatam speaks about. Very interesting, a little complex, but it's the logic that you can understand something greater by understanding a sample of that something greater. The vyasti can be, the samasti can be understood by the vyasti. The fire can be understood by the spark. The ocean can be understood by the drop of ocean. The supreme absolute truth can be understood by examining the jiva. And he supports it through statements in scripture. Then looks at what are the inherent qualities of the jiva. And then Bhagavan is the unlimited manifestation of that, the conscious being. Little, you know, it's graduate level discussion. The principle is in the undergraduate level is living entity is qualities like Krishna. Living entity is conscious. because the part and parcel has qualities like the whole, who is supremely conscious. And then look more closely at the features of the Vyasti, and you can understand the Samasti. That's what the Bhagavatam is disclosing. The absolute truth in its fullness. Understand the fullness through the part. It's a, according to the laws of nyaya or logic, it's valid. There's no fallacy in doing so. Inherent fallacy. Understand the whole by understanding the part of the whole. So similarly, one can understand Bhagavan in part by understanding the quality that's there in Paramatma and Brahman. So I'm going to now go right to the text. This is Kapila Dev speaking to Devahuti. It's the next to the last of nine chapters. It's really massive. Presentation on explaining devotional service and what's the situation like, what's the default mode if one doesn't take devotional service, fruitive activities. Fruitive activities aimed at enjoyment, independent of Krishna, meaning sense enjoyment. So, I'm going to read, starting with going to focus on 33, but I'm going to go back to 26 and connect the dots, see where, how we got to 33. Well, 25 is describing qualities of a realized devotee. They're equipoised, their senses are controlled, they see themselves as a spark of the Supreme, uncontaminated by matter. He does not see anything inferior or superior. He feels himself by that connection with the Supreme, having qualities like the Supreme, although tiny. The quality of one who is fixed in bhakti. Then, 26, the Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge, but according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha avatars. So their different processes are indicated by the different systems of yoga, because if you've studied carefully, the yoga ladder system, jnana without bhakti doesn't become jnana yoga. But jnana with some touch of bhakti then becomes Gyan Yoga, Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. There must be some element, even a tinge, some degree of bhakti. Okay, then bhakti is unmixed. No karma, no Gyan. No fruitive activities, no mental speculation. That's unmixed devotion. So the yoga ladder, one may be inclined to know the Absolute through speculative methods or by detached work or by the process of meditation. So when they are connected to some degree with bhakti, then the object will be different. The realization will be different. For example, Dhruva Maharaj. His spiritual master was who? Who? Narada Muni. Narada Muni. So is Narada Muni a jnani or a meditator or a bhakta? A bhakta. He's Shaktivesha avatar, empowered by the personality of Godhead to distribute the fullness of bhakti shakti. Through and through, inside, outside, and in the middle. He's a bhakta. And when Narada gave to Dhruva a process of meditation, it wasn't just meditation, it wasn't just dhyan, yoga. It was bhakti. How to fix his mind on Vishnu, along with his mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, the result was when he fixed his mind upon Paramatma, who was within the heart of Dhruva, it wasn't just the neutral stage of Paramatma realization, because Lord Vishnu then came, the Purusha avatar, Lord Vishnu came before him. And they had a conversation. He touched his head with his conch shell. With direct interaction on a personal... So although he was meditating on Vishnu within the heart, it was with devotion. And the strength of that devotion, the Lord appeared. So it wasn't for Dhruva, it wasn't just Paramatma realization. It was realization in the fullness of the personal feature, Lord Vishnu. So that this verse 27 is saying, 25 is the qualities of a devotee, 26 is depending upon the process that's being followed, one will have a different realization. So it could be Gyan Yoga, where one then comes to the position of realizing the Brahman feature. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita that speaks about that. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapajate. Gyanis may come to the, may not, but they may come to the position of understanding that Vasudev, Krishna, is everything. And if they do, then that rare person will take shelter of Krishna. The jnani, by the dint of that tinge of bhakti, may come to full bhakti and surrender to Krishna. Then the realization will go beyond the Brahman feature. You got it? The process is going to determine the realization, is the point of text 27. Now I'm going to skip forward because of time. And 33 is saying essentially the same thing. Well, we'll go back to 32. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Bahunam janmanamante. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naturally so, because he's the absolute truth in full. One may not, and then one may be inclined and on a step of the yoga ladder that says, this is it. And there isn't anything more than this. This is it. And then one is identified according to that position, but one may continue, or one may not. Text 33. A single object is appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but according to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. This is why are there different religions? According to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. And then you get groupism and discord and, ugliness from persons that are in the fire of sectarianism. But the Bhagavatam doesn't want us to go there. Bhagavatam wants us to go to the full picture. Not just be hand-holding, it's all one kind of people, but understand why there are differences in views of God or religion or the truth. Nice purport. It appears that by following the path of Gyan Yoga or empiric philosophical speculation, one reaches the impersonal Brahman, whereas by executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one enriches his faith in and devotion to the Personality of Godhead. But it is stated here that both Bhakti Yoga and Gyan Yoga are meant for reaching the same destination, the Personality of Godhead. By the process of Gyan Yoga, the same Personality of Godhead appears to be impersonal, as the same object appears to be different when perceived by different senses. The same Supreme Lord appears to be impersonal by mental speculation. Then he gives two examples. First is the hill or mountain example. A hill appears cloudy from a distance, and one who does not know may speculate that the hill is a cloud. Actually, it's not a cloud, it's a big hill. Which one has to learn from authority that the sight of a cloud is not actually a cloud, but a hill. If one makes a little more progress, then instead of a cloud, he sees the hill and something green. When actually approaches the hill, he will see many varieties. That's the first example. Same object, just seen from a different, in this case, more proximate and with proper guidance of knowledge. Second example. The second example is taken directly from Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And I haven't started to read that because there are too many books to read, but Gopi Puranadana made a translation and commentary. It's Rupa Goswami's writing. Sanatan Goswami's has now published Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and Laghu Bhagavatamrita is now also published. It's a section from Laghu Bhagavatamrita that says the following. Another example is the perceiving milk. When we see milk, we see that it is white. When we taste it, it appears that milk is very palatable. When we touch milk, it appears very cold. When we smell milk, it appears to have a very good flavor. And when we hear, we understand that it's called milk. Perceiving milk with different senses, we say that it is something white, something very delicious, something very aromatic, and so on. Actually, it is milk. Similarly, those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by mental speculation may approach the bodily effulgence or the impersonal Brahman. And those who are trying to find the Supreme Godhead by yoga practice may find him as the localized supersoul. But those who are directly trying to approach the Supreme Truth by practicing Bhakti Yoga can see him face to face as the Supreme Person. Although inclination, like Dhruva, may be by the process of meditation, but the interest, because Narada is his guru, The interest is the person. Paragraph. There's three paragraphs. This is number two. Ultimately, the Supreme Person is the destination of all different processes. The fortunate person who, by following the principles of Scripture, becomes completely purified of all material contamination, surrenders unto the Supreme Lord as everything. Just as one can appreciate the real taste of milk with the tongue, and not with the eyes, nostrils, or ears, one can similarly appreciate the absolute truth perfectly with all relishable pleasure only through one path, devotional service. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. If one wants to understand the absolute truth in perfection, he must take to devotional service. Of course, no one can understand the absolute truth in all perfection. That is not possible for the infinitesimal living entities. But the highest point of understanding by the living entity is reached by discharge of devotional service, and not otherwise. Pretty clear. Not so difficult. The absolute truth is one. And the absolute truth is unlimited in its variegatedness, and depending upon the method or process applied, one will perceive some or another feature of the absolute. Now, it's very important. Going back to the Tattvasandarbha Pramanakanda section, of all the different sources of knowledge or different scriptures that teach different things, one amongst them is the emperor, is the best means of knowing. And so in these other statements of truth, the Vedas, the Kalpa Vriksha, that wish-fulfilling tree of all desire, there may be some emphasis over here on worship of the demigod. There may be some emphasis over here on, apparently, meditation on the impersonal feature. There may be some different recommendations. But they're all meant to lead to this one. And that's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. There, as stated here, even the process of Gyan is meant to bring one to the position of understanding the Supreme Person is the source of everything. One can hear it directly, Krishna declares it, and one accepts it and acts on that basis and realizes it on that basis. Krishna is the source of everything. Or by other methods, or other methods, or other methods. The aim is the same. Sarvadharmam Pridyaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Aim is the same. So why are there differences? Different inclinations to know the Supreme this way, that way, the other way. As with different senses, the object that is being perceived will be perceived differently, but it's the same object. So how do we understand the object in its fullness? That's the Bhagavatam's gift. It's the high court judge that helps reconcile what may be not so fully understood otherwise. Last paragraph. By following various scriptural paths, one may come to the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental pleasure derived from merging with or understanding the impersonal Brahman is very extensive, because Brahman is Ananta, very extensive, unlimited. Then he quotes from Brahma Samhita, Tad Brahma Nishkalam Anantam, Brahmananda is unlimited. but that unlimited pleasure can also be surpassed. That is the nature of transcendence. The unlimited can be surpassed also. And that higher platform is Krishna. The absolute truth is in different features. So Brahman is one of those absolute, ananta, and advaya features. Unlimited and non-dual. And even within that unlimited and non-dual, there's a hierarchy. Bhagavan feature possesses whatever Brahman feature possesses, and more. All bhagas, all opulences, all potencies, all everything. When one deals directly with Krishna, the mellow and the humor relished by reciprocation of devotional service is incomparable even with the pleasure derived from transcendental Brahman. Example, Prabodhananda Saraswati therefore says that Kaivalya, the Brahman pleasure, is undoubtedly very great and is appreciated by many philosophers, but to a devotee who has understood how to derive pleasure from exchanging devotional service with the Lord, this unlimited Brahman appears to be hellish. Strong. Prabodhananda Saraswati is like, whew, strong. Narakayate. One should try, therefore, to transcend even the Brahman pleasure in order to approach the position of dealing with Krishna face to face, as the mind is the center of all activities of the senses. Krishna is called the master of the senses, Rishikesha. The process is to fix the mind on Rishikesha, or Krishna, as Maharaj Ambarish did. Parentheses, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. Bhakti is the basic principle of all processes. Without bhakti, neither Gyan Yoga nor Ashtanga Yoga can be successful, and unless one approaches Krishna, the principles of self-realization have no ultimate destination. So just last, here's the translation of the section from Laghu Bhagavatamrita that this purport is taken from. And this purport is also not booting. Well, this purport is Prabhupada's purport is based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is referring to Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And Laghu Bhagavatamrita is written on the basis of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami on the science of bhakti. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita, one way to describe it is it's featuring or expanding in various ways on the forms of the Lord. It's just like several sections that cycle and cycle and cycle, and it's presenting Krishna just as Brihat Bhagavatamrita is presenting Krishna, as the Bhagavatam is presenting Krishna, but the forms of Krishna as they appear in this world, and then elaborating like very, very detailed elaborations on them. So this section of Lagu Bhagavatamrita is, how is it that there's different features of the Lord that he's reciprocating with living entities according to their regard for him? And some regard him this way, and so he appears this way. Some regard him that way, so he appears that way. But this example of milk is used, that actually the fullness is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, because he's the source of everything, and within him is, there's everything, including all the avatars. He's the avatari, the source of all. So let me see if I can get this up. So the metaphor of the milk is used, and then that, so similarly, Bhagavan, though one entity, appears as many different forms according to the type of worship. And then again, as the tongue is the sense that can taste the milk, so similarly, different types of worship, depending on the external senses, perceive limited aspects of the Lord, and bhakti, depending on the mind, perceives all the qualities of the Lord. So the senses perceive, but the mind can hold it all. So bhakti can also see the fullness of the personality of Godhead. And then, thus, the best of scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, explains the superiority of Krishna over the Brahman aspect of Krishna because of his full manifestation of qualities such as sweetness. And if you're, this is Rupa Goswami once again, those of you that know from Nectar Devotion, the 64 qualities of Krishna, the final four are qualities that Krishna alone, even Narayana or Vishnu, don't have, and they all center around Krishna's sweetness, the sweetness of his pastimes, his flute playing, and so forth. That's Krishna in his Swayam Bhagavan feature, in his feature in Vrindavan. That the expansions of Krishna do not exhibit. They exhibit other things of Krishna's potencies, but not in the fullness. Krishna alone. And Krishna can be understood alone, just as he says at the end of the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, after showing the universal form, this form of mind, vakya tunanyaya shakya, I can only be understood through devotional service. This form that you're seeing now, and others won't understand. It's so clear, yet some people are stubborn. And that's okay. Then they'll get whatever they get, according to their faith and the process that they're following, according to their faith. And our responsibility in exchanging with such people that have different types of faith is not to disturb their faith or challenge their faith or confront their faith, but according to their capacity or willingness, if there is any, to understand and appreciate something that takes them a step further. Some people don't want to go further, but some people are willing to hear. And one of the strongest features that help people in their willingness to hear is the Vaishnava quality of the devotee. That can be more compelling to have people be inclined to hear than anything you may say. Or conversely, if Vaishnava quality is not there, how likely is it that someone's going to want to consider what you have to say, especially if it's like stretching their faith a little bit? Not so likely. Therefore, it's incumbent upon the devotees to not only know, but to be properly situated in their relationship with Krishna. And then Vaishnava qualities become their decorations.